Good evening, everybody. Got a good crowd coming in. Come on in. It's good to see everybody today. There they come. I was trying to tarry a little bit for my wife. I knew she was here. I was just waiting on her to get in. Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to start at 6. Manny, you and Sarah can come in too. That'd be all right. Yeah. I want to mention Mary's back with us. Yay. Yay. So glad you are back. I am so glad you are back. I saw her come in the door. I couldn't wait to get over there and say hello to her. So glad to see you. So glad to see her. I asked her if she was running a mile yet. She said, almost. She said, right there. No, she said, I could only run about 3 feet. Yeah. And, well, that's me too, by the way. It's funny, when I was younger, I used to run 6 miles a day. I really did. I ran 6 miles a day. Can y'all believe that? And then look at me now. You know, there's not many pear-shaped people that can run 6 miles a day anymore. You saw Mary play basketball? Did she say bad things about you after the game? Yeah. Something about his vision, yeah. Yeah. Some state, I don't remember what state this was. Might have been Arkansas. I don't know. But some state, the legislature decided that they were going to pass a law, and they wrote this bill up that required all officials for athletic events to have a yearly eye exam. And they had to go and show their eye exam results before they could call any game. A yearly eye exam. Now, I don't know about all that, but I said, yeah, I understand. You know, people kind of get bent out of shape over stuff that they shouldn't be bent out of shape over. And I know that. But in the 27 years that I coached, I can tell you that there were only two games that the officials actually did cost us the game. But I couldn't think of any other reason that we lost those games. But usually, especially in baseball, your poor coaching, you think that was all right? All right, Bob. Yeah. Poor coaching. He's doing something, isn't he? All right. We're going to be talking about Daniel's intervention, and we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2. Starting with verse 14, and we'll go through verse 23. It's where we're going to be. If y'all remember correctly, last week I left you with Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were subject to be killed. And because it was all of King Nebuchadnezzar's wise men, sorcerers, priests, they couldn't determine what King Nebuchadnezzar's dream was, and so he just said, well, we'll just kill them all. And since Daniel and his friends were part of that group, that they were going to be killed as well. But Daniel and his friends did not have the opportunity to go and to try to determine what the dream was all about. So that's kind of where we left it last week. So Daniel and his friends were literally on a position to where they were about to be put to death. That's where they were. Now, there were some questions and whatnot. Did Nebuchadnezzar know Daniel at the time? Did he know anything about Daniel at the time? And we don't know, but probably not much, if anything, that he knew about Daniel and the others, because he didn't ask them. He asked his people. This was also that after that 3-year period where Daniel and his friends would have gone to school for 3 years, literally, gone to school for 3 years, and would have been trained. in by the Chaldeans. So that's kind of where we were last week. Now, before we get any further, I have to tell y'all that I will not be here next week. Okay? I will not be here next week. Dick is going to be preaching for us Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we're going to have our singing Sunday night. So I encourage all of y'all to come to that anyway. Even though I'm not going to be here, I encourage you to be there for that because it should be a good time. They're going to have cake and ice cream and all that stuff, and I would come just for the cake and ice cream. Because you can't be pear-shaped if you don't have cake and ice cream. So that's how that works out. Okay? So I would come to that. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that because that will be good. And then the following week, we'll pick right back up where we left off. Kathy and I are going to take that day off, and we're going to go visit our son and daughter and granddaughter, son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter, and we're going to go to church with them in Hot Springs. So I always enjoy spending time with family. It's always good, you know, especially that granddaughter. I don't know why that is, but you know, she can. All she has to do is just kind of smile at you, and you'll do whatever she wants. You know, it doesn't take much. They're in Hot Springs. They're living in our lake house right now, but they're actually fixing to move again. She just accepted the job at in BB, and so they're fixing to move to BB, right outside of Searcy, and so that's going to be an interesting. Move for them. It's further away for us. But, you know, I had, I'll just tell you all, at one time I had 36 first cousins that lived in the BB area, the Searcy area, and there's a few of them still around, so it'll give me an opportunity to see some of them and to be around some of them as well. So, anyway, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that, and I'm really looking forward to getting my lake house back. That's the key. Get them out so I can get back in. That's the big key. Okay. All right. So, Daniel is going to request for some time. Now, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is not a dumb person by any stretch of the imagination. Because Nebuchadnezzar called in his soothsayers, his priests, and whatnot, to tell him what this dream meant because he had been losing sleep over it. He had been having this dream multiple times, and he wanted them to tell him what this dream meant. And so his soothsayers told him, said, well, if you'll tell us what the dream is, then we'll be able to tell you what it meant. And Nebuchadnezzar said, no. If you're as good as you say you are, then you'll be able to tell me what the dream is, and then you'll be able to interpret it. Now, that's pretty sharp right there. Because he realized that if they heard the dream, they'd make something up, and they'd lie to him. And so he was pretty sharp about it. And he also told them that all you're doing is stalling for time. You just want more time before I am able to hear what the answer is for the dream. So when they couldn't do it, and they said no one could do it, he said, okay, well, we'll put you all to death. And that's kind of where we were. Now, Daniel and his friends were scheduled to be killed. And they had received no opportunity to meet with the king and interpret his dream. They had had no opportunity to do that. Matter of fact, what you'll see is that they don't even realize why the king has made such a proclamation to put them all to death. They're not in the loop at all. And so Daniel and his friends had no opportunity whatsoever to talk to the king and tell the king what the dream was about. Now Daniel, being a man of faith, recognized the threat to himself and his friends. The king's commander, we'll see this person in a minute, the king's commander was delayed in carrying out the king's command by Daniel's honest request or honest inquiry. Now remember, Daniel, even though at this point, I don't believe King Nebuchadnezzar really knew much about Daniel or his friends. I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination. But Daniel has already had a very interesting relationship with the people that were in charge just under the king. And they had come to respect Daniel. And so this is kind of how this is built up. And that's why Daniel is able to give this request without concern that the people that were in charge underneath the king wouldn't accept this request. Now, do you remember what the request was before that this all took place? Y'all remember what took place before? Okay, the 10 days of the food. And remember, we talked a lot about that as well, because Daniel and his friends said that they didn't want to eat of the choice food that was given to all the other people at that time. And so Daniel and his friends then said that they would eat nothing but vegetables and they wouldn't drink any wine. And I told y'all that that sounded a lot like a Nazarite vow. Now, we don't know exactly that's what it was, but it sounds a lot like it, because when they took Nazarite vows, they would give up something, and they never drank any wine during those Nazarite vows. They never did. If you want to read about them, turn over to Numbers chapter 4 and you can read all about them. But that's what those were. And it's high possibility that Daniel and his friends gave this Nazarite vow in order so that while they were in captivity, they wouldn't do these things. Now, also remember that everybody else who was also in captivity at the time took the choice food from the king. They ate it. And so Daniel said to his commander, said, if you'll let us do this, not eat of the king's choice food, and then check us in 10 days, and then see which one of us is in better health. And they ate nothing but vegetables. They didn't eat any meat at all. They ate nothing but vegetables. Now again, one of the reasons why I say that there might have been a Nazarite vow is simply because the Jews were allowed to eat meat, certain types of meat, but they didn't eat any meat at all. They just ate vegetables. And by eating vegetables, they gained weight. Now, I don't know how you do that. Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I don't think you can. Yeah, that's the only way, because if I ate nothing but vegetables, I'd be about this big around in 10 days. Yeah, that's just not going to work for me. Lots of corn, potatoes, you know, butter. I wonder if they could put butter on them. Yeah. It's all calorie consumption. Yeah, well, if you give me a bunch of potatoes with a lot of butter, I bet you I could gain some weight. Yeah. So, yeah, I bet I could. Brussels sprouts. Those are nasty. Those are nasty. Yeah. Don't feed me any Brussels sprouts. Yeah, no. No. Yeah. Kathy tried to feed me some at one time. It did not turn out good. Let's put it that way. So, anyway. So, Daniel and his friends had made up a relationship with the people that were underneath the king. And so, Arioch is the one who interceded for Daniel, and Daniel was granted an interview with the king. Okay? He was granted an interview with the king. So let's take a look now at the verses. Daniel chapter 2, starting with verse 14. We're going to look at verse 14 through 16 to begin with. Then Daniel replied with discretion. Now notice he replied with discretion, which means that he was courteous, he was respectful, he did everything that he should do in making this type of request. And the discernment of Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguards. Now, he's the captain of the king's bodyguards. Now, he had gone out to kill the wise man of Babylon. So this person had been told that his job was to go out and kill all the wise men of Babylon. That was his job. Now, what would happen to an individual if they didn't carry out the king's command? They would be put to death. Okay? So in this, and Don brought this up, and it's exactly correct, you can see God's providence in all of this. You can see God's providence in all of this. This is really going to be the first time that Daniel and his friends have an opportunity to really get to know the king and the king to really get to know them. This is the first time. And the fact that Arioch would then not do what the king said, this is something that he was taking his own life in his own hands. Because the king could have responded, I told you to put them to death, you didn't do it, and so therefore I'm going to put you to death. Now remember the Romans. Remember the Romans. If they had a prisoner, and the prisoner escaped, what happened to the guard? The guard would be killed, or the guard would have to then take the place of the prisoner and serve out whatever sentence that the prisoner had. So if it was death, they would be put to death. So realize that. And remember when Paul was in prison and the doors all came off and the prison guard pulled out his sword to put himself to death. And Paul said, don't do that. We're all still here. Okay? Why was he doing that? Because he thought all of his prisoners had escaped. And so he would have been put to death. Okay? Well, there was no difference there during this time with Nebuchadnezzar because his guards would have done the same thing. His guards would have been put to death the same way. This is in the same situation, and I bring this up so that you'll remember, but it's in the same situation when the commander did not force the issue of Daniel and his friends eating meat. Because the commander had been told by Nebuchadnezzar that this is the way it was going to be. And again, he goes against it, and so therefore he himself could have been put to death. But that's why we see God's providence in all of this. All of this. We see God working all the time. Okay? So, yes, sir, Don, go ahead. No, different guy. Different guy. This was the commander of the guard, and the other guy was just kind of an overseer. Yeah. And he was an overseer of the servants. He was an overseer of those priests. So, no, different fella. Different fella. But the response is the same. For them to allow that to happen, they are taking their own life in their hands by not following the king's direct orders. Go ahead.
So did they already start killing the people when this happened, when they found out about it?
Yes.
So they had already started killing
the people? That's the indication that they had already started doing that, and they were on their way to go get Daniel and his three friends to do the same thing to them. So the process had already begun. That's the indication that we see here. The process had already begun. So in verse 15, he said to Arioch, the king's officer, for what reason is this decree from the king so harsh? Again, we see that Daniel and his friends don't know what's going on. They're not privy to this. They don't understand. They're not in the loop. And so when they're told that they're about to be put to death, they're going, why? For what reason are we about to be put to death? And so then Arioch informed Daniel of the matter, told him what was going on and what had happened. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him a grace period, some time, so that he might declare the interpretation to the king. So the message to the king was, give us a little time, and we will declare the interpretation. Now again, we see God's hand at work. Because Nebuchadnezzar didn't have to do that, did he? He could have put him to death immediately. But instead, what we see is God's hand at work because he gave them time. And remember, I brought this up as we began. He didn't do that with his other people. He said, you're just stalling for time. But here he gives them some time. They didn't ask for time, but he did it. Okay? Now, the following verses, after his audience with the king, Daniel met with his three friends. Together, they prayed for God's revelation so that their lives would be spared. Yes, sir.
Nebuchadnezzar is showing still how wise he is. His objective in all this is to figure out this dream. Him having another option to maybe possibly figure that out, then he's all for trying that.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And, of course, God directs him in that manner. And he also understands that he hadn't let Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he hadn't let them have the opportunity. So he realizes that too. So that's why he gives them extra time to do these things. Now, when the task is before you, what should you always do first? Yes. 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 And pray with thanksgiving that God not only will show you the way, but he'll help you through it. And we are thankful that you're going to do that. You see that? That's a very important thing to do. I'm guilty of this. And probably a lot of you are. And when I pray is after the event happens, and I thank God for what he did. But I don't pray before the event. I don't pray before we start. And that's a problem on me. And it may be a problem on some of y'all as well. That we need to be thankful both before and after. And we need to go to God, especially when we have a situation that's arising that's concerning to you. Yes, sir.
Something I think that's kind of interesting. It seems like the most effective prayers are the ones that are done in your closet.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
You know, it's not in front of the congregation. Yeah. It's in your closet.
That's because you can be more personal. God wants a personal relationship with him. God wants us to have this relationship with him. God wants us to be with him and to talk with him. And yes, most definitely. And, of course, Jesus tells us to go in your closet, close the door. Because God who sees in secret will reward thee how? Openly. God who sees in secret will reward thee openly. So what happens here? They go and they pray to God for guidance. They pray to God for help. And in doing so, they're leaning on God's wisdom, not man's wisdom, not their own wisdom. And God sees this in secret, and he will reward them openly. Okay? All right. Verse 16 implies that they intended to ask God for both the dream and its interpretation. That their prayer is for God to reveal the dream to them and the interpretation. So it's both. The dream and its interpretation. So let's look at verses 17 and 18. Yes, ma'am. They've got one over here. I was looking over there for you, Randall. You'd moved on me.
Is Daniel still a teenager at this
yes.
time?
Yes. Probably 18 years old. Remember, he was taken when he was 15. Y'all remember that? I showed you all that information that I have dealing with that. He was taken when he was 15. He spent 3 years as a student learning, and this is after that three-year period. This is at the end of that three-year period. So he's 18, 19 years old, somewhere in that range. So to answer your question, yes, most definitely, he is still a teenager. And as I've told you before, you know, I've dealt with teenagers virtually all my life, and they think they know something, when in fact they don't know anything. They think they're pretty smart, and they're really not. But those are they're right. They'll give me an answer. Yeah, they always gave me an answer, but it was sometimes I looked at them and go, did you really just say that? Yeah. Especially when they were in trouble and in my office. You ever had that problem? You don't have that problem. Yeah. Yeah. Teenagers over there. So, yeah, yeah. You got to look out for teenagers. They think they know when in fact they don't know. They don't know. And my son's 31. Sometimes he thinks he knows. When he don't know either. All right. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends. And I'm going to get these names wrong because it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is who these three are. I have no idea. Actually, I do. I showed you all that at the beginning. But Hanana? Okay, y'all say it.
I am Mishael and Azariah.
Okay, good. Y'all get an A. Y'all get an A. Okay? These are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's who they are. All right? I know them. I used to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that wasn't exactly right. So Daniel informed his friends about the situation so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this secret. Now, who are they requesting from? God, the Father, the creator of all things. Are they requesting from all these idols that were there in Babylon? Of course not. They're talking to God the Father. Okay? And folks, I want y'all to know this, and this is absolutely true. God answers every prayer that you give. Sometimes the answer is no. Because he has some other idea, some other thing for you to do. Because we can't see all things that God sees. And so sometimes his answer is no. Now also remember this, that in my opinion, the greatest prayer ever given, God said no. And that was to Jesus in the garden. God says no. Because the response was that Jesus gave is, not my will, but your will be done. And folks, that is incredibly important. Because what is God's will?
None should perish.
That all should be saved and none should perish. So if that's God's will, then I'm for it. I'm for it. And I can tell you right now that my will may be what I think would be God's will, but it may not be. And I've used this example before, and forgive me if I've used it here before, but the example that I have is oftentimes I'd be looking for a job and education or whatnot, and I'd say, you know, God, give me this job, this would be a great job and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, God says, no, no, but I want you over here. And the vast majority of the jobs that I've had in my lifetime, I'll just tell you this, were jobs I never applied for. You know, I was the assistant principal down at Mena High School. I never applied for that job. They called me and asked me if I'd be interested. When I became the principal at County Line High School in Arkansas, they called me. I never applied to them. And it was so much so that after the school board had already accepted me and everything like that, and they wanted me as their principal, the superintendent looked at me and she said, "You will accept this job, won't you?" I never said I've accepted or rejected or whatever. And I said, yeah, I guess I will. I never applied for it. You know what? I didn't apply for this one either. I didn't apply at Bellevue either. I got calls. And folks, I can't think of a better place that I'd rather be. And so God knows. And this is what's interesting about this, and this is why I can easily say in all my prayers, let your will be done, not my will, but your will. God knows what we need, and God knows where He needs us. And if you are willing to go where you are needed, God will put you there, and you will see His glory be brought forth because of the things that are going on, because God put you in that position. Yes, ma'am.
I love these verses. I remember a ladies' Bible class we were in a long time ago, and they used these two verses to application to describe, remember, women like to talk. A reason to share with people that are close to us.
There you go.
Is because we will be killed like the rest of them.
Sure.
If we go around gossiping. And the reason was so that we could pray together.
There you go.
It wasn't to be an informant, but just.
There you go.
And I'm sitting here, I just remember that. I'm like, I gotta share that.
We in today's world, especially here in the United States, I'll just tell you, we have a tendency not to realize the power of prayer. We don't realize it. You know, we sometimes think we do, but we really don't. Because if we really did totally understand the power of prayer, we'd spend a lot more time doing it. I'm just telling you. And Miss Mary sitting there is one of the examples of the power of prayer. Okay? All right. Verse 18. So that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his friends would not be killed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, here is something that's very interesting. Verses 19 through 23. The prayers of Daniel and his friends brought results. Like I said, God will answer every prayer that you give. He may not say yes, He may say no, or He may say, I want you to do this instead. That happens. I've seen it in my own life, I've seen it in other people's lives, I've seen that take place. But in every case, it brings results. It brings results. So realize that. Realize that. Daniel's prayer of thanksgiving, uttered upon receiving the revelation from God, is clear in its meaning. This is Daniel's prayer of thanksgiving. So Daniel is thankful to God for what he has given him. Now here's something that I'm also going to bring up dealing with prayer. God is the one that gives. You didn't do it. God did it through you. That makes sense to everybody? God did it through you. So who should receive the glory? Always. Always. God receives the glory. I didn't do it. God did it. I was just the vessel that he used in order so that his will would be done. And that's how we should view it. That's how we should look at it, that we are the vessel for God to use to do his will. Our job here on this earth is to do the will of God, period. That's what we're here for. So if God can use me or you to do his will, then let his will be done. Let's do it together. To work together. Make sure it's good. Now, realize that Daniel's prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. He himself is not taking credit for understanding this dream. He's giving 100% of the credit to God. And that's what we should do. Always. Always. Don't take any credit. Give the credit to God. Okay? Having asked God for, that's supposed to be for, not F-O-R-E, something, and then having received it, Daniel then immediately offers up thanks to God. Now, are we good at offering up thanks to God? Try to be. Some of us are better at this. I'm better at this, usually, than I am about the first part of it, about going to God to begin with. I'm better at giving thanks, because after I've gone through it and I've seen what takes place and I've seen what transpires, then I usually say, oh God, I understand what you're doing. Thank you for that. But on the same regard, we're supposed to go to God first. Because God will guide us. God will help us. God will help us through. Go to him first. And then don't forget to give him thanks after he took care of you. After things are done. Daniel does this. Daniel, being such a young man, Daniel is incredibly wise. Think about his wisdom. Because he's got great faith in God. I've told you before, there are people that are in the Bible that I wish I had that much faith. Daniel's one of them. I wish I had as much faith as Daniel. I wish my faith could grow more. Pray for that. And I see it happening. But for me, it doesn't happen fast enough. You know, if I want something, I wanted it yesterday, not in the future. Lay over here. Got to run over there to Miss Sue. Yes, ma'am.
You know, when I went and had all this trouble with my eye, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I really thought that I was going to have the sight in my eye. And I prayed and prayed the Lord to please give me my sight. And when he didn't, I just sat there and I said, what? You know, I didn't understand. And I still don't understand, but I know he will tell me. And I've accepted it. You know, and I go on and not really cried or got down over it, you know, because it was God's will. And I'm thankful that I have one good eye.
Yeah, I bring you to something. I bring this to everybody's attention. Remember the Apostle Paul. He said that there was a thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know what that was. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. The Bible doesn't teach us. I've even surmised that the thorn in the flesh may have been the guilt that he felt over putting to death and putting in prison Christians. I've even surmised that. Don't know that that's true. Don't know that that's part of it. But remember what Paul said. He prayed that that thorn be removed. But he said something about God's grace. And what was it? God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. Because that statement came really home to me one day. There was a young girl that was killed in a car accident, and I was to preach her funeral. And it was one of my students from school, and it was another preacher that was there that was also going to be preaching the funeral. So, you know, we were going to share. And before the funeral began, he started talking to me about this young girl who was 19, about her salvation. And I know this girl was pretty ornery. I loved her. But she was real ornery. And she did some really not so good things. And so he and I were talking about it. And he looked at me and he said, but God's grace is sufficient. Now where that hit me was this. I couldn't say if that young girl went to heaven or hell. I couldn't say that. Wouldn't even try. But I can tell you this. God's judgment is righteous. God's love is unending. And that is sufficient for me. Paul said it too. That God's grace is sufficient. Also, when my father passed away, I know there were hundreds, if not thousands, of prayers that went up for him. He had cancer. They prayed for him not to die. He died at 44 years old. And yet, he passed away. God's answer was no. To those prayers. But I can take it and look at it in a whole different perspective now. Because I know God's grace is sufficient. His judgment is righteous. And God said, He's ready. Come home. Come home. And that's how I look at it today. God said He's ready. God brought him home. And there'll be a time of a great reunion when we will come together again in paradise. Now, I tell you all that to let you all know that even though sometimes God's answer is no, we've got to realize that God, His righteousness, His grace, His love, far outweighs anything that we could possibly imagine. And I can always take comfort in that. Paul said that we ought to include thanksgiving with our request. That's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So when you make the request, thank God. Because His answer is going to be good for all people, all times, and yourself as well. Questions or comments about those? That a boy. All right, let's look at verses 19 through 23. Then the secret of the dream was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel, notice the response, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, May the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the periods. He removes kings and appoints kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to people of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, God of our fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now, You have made known to me what we requested of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter. Do we know of other prayers of thanksgiving that are in the Bible? Yes, we do. Who are they? A lot of Psalms, yeah, a lot of the Psalms. I'm looking for more specific. Gideon, Moses, David, definitely. Abraham, Isaac, Miriam, Mary, Elizabeth, Deborah. These are all praises to God. And I would encourage you, if you've got a good commentary especially, I would encourage you to look in the back of those commentaries, because a lot of times they'll have prayers and they'll break them down and they'll say, prayers of thanksgiving. Read those prayers of thanksgiving. They are absolutely wonderful. And they are something that we should do more often. We should thank God when we begin our prayers. We should thank God when we end our prayers. We should thank God before the event. We should thank God after the event. We should thank God during the event. As things are happening, we should always be grateful and thankful to God. because he is the one that deserves the praise. He is the one that deserves the glory. And we should be, as Christian people, giving God all the praise, all the glory, all the time. Questions, comments? You might be, but you listed off a whole bunch. So you might have skipped one or added one. Not a problem. No, the four of them were basically staying together. They had all four come from the same region. They all knew each other when they were brought over. So they were all staying together. No, they were not in prison. Okay. That's why we come to worship, to thank God. And that's another reason why we do the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. Because, or every first day of the week, because we are thanking God for His greatest gift of all, which was His Son, who paid our debt for sin so that we could be with Him in heaven. If it wasn't for that, and Bob, you and I have made this conversation before, but if it wasn't for that, there wouldn't be any need for us to even be here. Because we'd all be lost. Yes, sir.
We also, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, like it says, we proclaim the Lord's death
until
He comes again.
Until He comes.
And we are commanded to proclaim the Lord in Scripture. And I think this is one way that we do it.
There you go. There you go. Other questions or comments? Good lesson tonight. One in which we all need. Take a look at the power of prayer. That's my point that I wanted to make tonight. Take a look at the power of prayer. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Look at the power of prayer. Focus on that. And become more prayerful. All of us need to do that. All of us do. And I don't care how good you think you are prayer-wise, you ain't there yet. That's right. It's got to go together. And I will tell you this, that the more you see God working in you or through you, the greater your belief becomes.
How much?
You know, I think there's a book that says something about that. You know, James kind of wrote it, you know. Consider it all joy. Because when you go through those things, it increases your faith. Yes, sir.
We'll jump ahead of you probably the next week, but
don't you do it. Go ahead.
Daniel is fixing. You're not going to be here, so we'll forget in 2 weeks. So Daniel's fixing to show great faith when you go to a king that was going to have you killed, and you tell him what he dreamed because that's what you kind of dreamed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just think about that. Just sit there and think about it. If you was going to come to me and tell me what I dreamed last night or last week.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, it's all she wrote.
Yeah. I've kind of learned my dreams are really kind of crazy. So, you know, people, you dreamed what? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Is there anyone here who needs to take the Lord's Supper? Yes? 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 Go right back yonder. You know when you know where yonder is? Right over there. Right up there. You know how I said that? I didn't say there. I said there, over there. All right. Well, thank you all for being here tonight. I appreciate our visitors coming tonight. And come every chance you get. Come every chance you get. It's a good study. It's a good study. All right, let's stand and sing our song of encouragement.